house. And when she told me, I said, show me the raincoats. Let me see the raincoats. Like, you know, I thought, have they appeared? And then I went through all the things. Did they appear? Or did an angel buy them from Sports Direct? Chop the labels off. You've got to think, how exactly did they get there, you know? And I thought, did they have magical properties? I was rubbing them on my ball patch. See if I could get healed. No, I didn't really. And then I reached into the bag and I pulled out a rabbit. And then I pulled out and a hanky that just kept going and going and going. No, I didn't really. So should we have a little look at the Bible together and just do a little bit more on this? I'm not going to do too much because, do you know what? Honestly, everything I know about healing, I've already told you. But I'll just do a couple of other things. I just want to speak to you about how God heals, the actual practicalities, and then we'll heal a couple of people up here and just talk you through it as they're getting healed. And we'll pray and we'll just show you the possibilities of what you can pray for and what to ask them, what to listen for, and what they're feeling. And we'll just have a little practice on one another, whoever's ill. So if you're ill, get a bit of faith for that now, please, because that'll help. How does God heal? Well, firstly, do you know, I think it is first personally, is through the laying on of hands. The laying on of hands through Christians' hands. That's what Jesus used to do. Jesus used to put his hands on people, bless them, touch them, and heal them. The power of touch in the name of Jesus is one of the main ways we heal people. So let's just have a quick look. Matthew 19. And can someone find Matthew 16, verse 18? And I'll do this Matthew 19 one. Verse 13, it's just, and then little children were brought to Jesus to him to place his hands on them and pray for them. It's a nice thought, isn't it? The disciples rebuked those who brought them, but Jesus said, no, let the little children come to me. Don't hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. Every little kid got Jesus' hands laid on them. Something happens when Jesus lays his hands on people. Do you know that? Do you know that you're the body of Christ? You know, you actually are. You're not like the body of Christ. The New Testament says, if you're the church, you are the body of Christ. So when you lay your hands on someone, something is going to happen. Do you know that? Do you know that when you... The reason being is because of your connection to God. That's why. If there's power... If that was a normal socket on the wall, there's power in there, electrical power to do stuff, right? I'm over here, nothing's going to happen electric over here until I get an extension lead. I take the extension lead and I plug in here, and then the power is right over here. It runs down the lead and it comes over to this end. The power's here now. And whatever I plug in to there receives that power that came from over there. But it's running through here, and it's good electricity, isn't it? Bang. There was a bang over there, but I connected to that bang, and I brought it over here, and I banged it here instead. That's power. That's exactly how laying on of hands works. You are connected to God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are in with him. You are connected to him. You are. The power of God flows through your body, whether you're aware of it or not, it does, especially if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And for you to lay your hands on someone, it's not your power, it is the power of heaven that flows through you. That's how people get healed. I think the more conscious you are of that, the more stuff happens, because it helps your faith. Whenever I pray for someone, well, not whenever, to be honest, because sometimes I'm not very with it, but when I'm with it and, you know, focused, if I'm praying for, often, when I pray for someone, I deliberately make myself conscious of my heaven connection. I see in my mind's eye you know, the clouds of heaven right behind me, touching me, the golden glory clouds. That gate that I was talking about last week is always open for me and you. It's open. So just have a quick look back through the gate. There's the throne. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's the river. I'm lined up with this kingdom. I'm lined up with this throne. I'm lined up. That's flowing through me. It's flowing behind me. I'm going to lay hands on you. Bang! I expect something to happen. I expect you to get healed. Not because I'm awesome. He is awesome. Not because I'm powerful. He is powerful. And I'm totally connected to that power. No matter what I feel like, no matter whether I'm having a good day or bad, it doesn't matter. The issue is, you're sick, or you've got a demon, or you need a miracle. And I have the answer. I have the answer because I'm connected to heaven, and so are you. That's how the laying on of hands works. Who found Matthew chapter 16, verse 18? Did anyone find that? Matthew 16, 18. Would you just read it out to us, whoever's found it? Oh, do you know what? I'm so sorry. You know, I've done my usual. It's Mark 16, verse 18. It's ridiculous. I get these glasses and I don't even put them on. Sorry. It's Mark 16, verse 18. That's a very good verse. Peter being the rock. Awesome. So anyone who gets to Mark 16, verse 18. Sorry, we're getting there. This must be an important scripture. There's whole strongholds against it. So. No, exactly. Yeah, they will pick up snakes, and then a bit further than the snakes. They will place their hands on the sick. And they will be healed. I mean, it's just a done. As far as Jesus is concerned. There's something about our hands. We'll place their hands on the stick and they'll be healed. That's basic Christianity as far as these guys are concerned. We did that all the time. The apostles did that all the time. Often when they laid their hands on them. Acts 28, verse 8. I'll just spare you it. But Paul is in Malta, shipwrecked, gets took to the governor's house. The governor, it says, is sick. And he's. I was reading it in Avril's Bible just over there before you all came. And it said he was sick and he was bleeding with flux. Sounds nasty, that, doesn't it? It's an old version of the Bible, but it's King James, isn't it? I don't know what it means, but it sounds painful, doesn't it? He was bleeding with flux. Poof, it doesn't sound very nice. Anyway, this guy's got a fever and he's bleeding. He's really ill. And it says Paul went in. But he was fine because what happened was it said Paul entered the room, he prayed, and then he laid his hands on him and healed him. And then they had a big meeting, gathered all the town, started preaching. And that's it. We've seen that happen many different nations, many different times. We were in the southernmost island of the Philippines, Mindanao, and we got invited to the mayor's house in this particular town. And he was a Buddhist and massive palace he lived in. And someone prayed for him. Healed. Then all of a sudden, more people. Oh, will you heal them as well? Will you heal them? And where are all these people coming from? And people are going to get people. We'll bring them there. Oh, heal them, heal them, heal them, heal them, heal them. Next minute, door open, massive crowd of people outside. Let's have a meeting. Get the guitar. Ding, 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 ding. You're preaching the gospel. You're having a meeting. Out of just praying for someone. Just one person. That's how it happened all often in the New Testament. But they laid their hands on them. That was just basic and normal. Is it awesome? You know how hands have the power of God on them. They really do. George Stormont, good friend of Smith Wigglesworth, was shaking hands. He preached in someone's church and he was at the door shaking hands as they were going out, shaking hands to people. And this woman who was totally blind, been blind all her life, shook his hand, healed. Just shaking his hand. Bye. See you later. The power of God flowing through him. The power of God flows through us. Touch is very, very important. It's really important to give each other a hug. Greet one another with a holy kiss, it says in the Bible. The difference between a holy kiss and a non-holy kiss is about 30 seconds, I think. But it's important to touch each other, kiss each other. love each other, give each other a hug. It's not just a human thing for us. It's not just affection. It is. We love each other. But it's more than that. God moves amongst us. We bless each other. We help each other. Darkness lifts off us. How are you doing, brother? Lifts off us. I believe it. I touch people all the time, as often as I can. Just do it naturally. But and supernaturally as well. I think that's part of our ministry. Shake hands, love people. Don't shake hands. Shake hands with faith that you something is happening when you touch people. You are blessing people. They brought little babies to Jesus. He didn't just say, he wasn't a politician. Very nice. See you later. He wasn't a politician. He wanted to get his hands on them. Oh, bless them. Took them in his arms, it says. Bless them. When he'd laid his hands on them, was there any more? Any more children? No, all done. He's laid his hands on them. Then he moved on, it says. It's important, isn't it? Laying on of hands. Significant. Always lay your hands on someone who's sick. If you can't think of anything to pray, here's a prayer. That's one. Prayer without words. Just keep your hands on them like a microwave. Ding! You healed yet? No, a bit more power. And just keep going. As long as you can. Another thing is oil. Mark 6, verse 13. Will someone read that? Because I just read that over there. And it's really significant, I think. Oil heals people when we pour it on them in the name of Jesus. I don't know. I don't know why, but it does, apparently. And they did it all the time. Has anyone got that? Mark 6, verse 13. Yep, go, whoever's got it.
They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil.
And healed them.
Yeah.
That was the 12. This is what's just happened. Jesus calls his 12 to him. And his first time he sent them out. And he sends them out in twos to various towns and places. And it's just a fascinating little verse. It says they go to these towns. They drive out many demons, right? And they anoint many sick people with oil. I don't think it says that anywhere before that. I don't think it says anywhere that Jesus used oil. But here's a little snippet here. I mean, did Jesus use oil sometimes? I don't know. Where did they get that from? Apparently they took oil with them and they anointed people with oil. Many of them, and healed them. It's interesting, isn't it? Maybe she used a bit more oil. Get the olive oil out. Yeah, your grandma. Did the priest or the bishop or someone pray for her? The priest came and prayed for her. She was ill, wasn't she? A bit of oil. She had arthritis or something. Hand was like this, wasn't it? And he was doing one of those, you know, Catholic things, you know, just sign of cross on your head. But as he did, a little bit of oil dripped on her hand. It was instantly healed. Just oil? I don't know. Interesting. This is what James 5 says. Is anyone sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint him with oil. And the prayer of faith will raise up the sick men. The early church, the leaders of the church went around the anointed people with oil. Interesting. How does God heal? Through laying on of hands. How does God heal? Through oil. You heard Carolyn's testimony about God's anointing, getting her to anoint her mother, preparing her to go into his presence. Awesome. Water, perhaps. I don't know. This is a question mark for me, but it's just a couple of scriptures that made me think, and a couple of things that I've experienced in Africa. There's John 9, verse 7, where Jesus tells a guy to go and wash his eyes in a certain pool. And as he washes, does he put mud in his eyes there? I didn't read that one. I think he puts mud in his eyes. Does he make it out of spit? Yeah. That's worth mentioning, isn't it? That's hilarious, isn't it? Jesus makes it. This is how Jesus heals people, lots of different ways. Fascinating, really, isn't it? I wish he wrote like a big manual on, you know, a chapter on spit and mud. And just, I don't know, but he did it. He did it. Amazing. And they recorded it. John must have been there. Jesus spat, made some mud, put it in his eyes. Go and wash it. Blind man. How to heal blind people. in three easy steps. Spit, mud, wash. Incredible. This guy goes and washes. He's completely healed. In the Old Testament, we have that story of Naaman. That's in 2 Kings 5, if you're making notes. 2 Kings 5, where Naaman's covered in leprosy, goes to see, is it Elisha or Elijah? Elisha. And Elisha's in the house, doesn't even bother talking to him. You remember the story? It's really humorous. This guy comes with his chariots and his power. It's a really important guy, but he's totally leprous. The leader of the Syrian army comes, and he doesn't even give him the time of day, really. And he says, oh, yeah, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. It's interesting. This guy's so angry. He doesn't even come. I thought he was going to do some big incantation and dance around me or something. And he never even opens the door to me. Terrible. And then his chief of staff calms him down and says, listen, do you know what? You're a leper. You're dying, basically. I mean, you read the text yourself. But he says, look, is it going to hurt to try? So he has to humble himself in front of his men. Strip off, probably. I don't know. Maybe he kept his clothes on. But he went in to the Jordan 7 times. He dipped. One, a leper. Two, a leper. Three, you know, four, five, six, leper. Seven, not a leper. My God, God's amazing, isn't he? He can use oil, he can use water, he can use spit, he can use mud. There's obviously something about obedience here, isn't there? And hearing the Holy Spirit and just doing what he's saying. I think that's the key. In our ministry times here on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, when we're out and about, be listening to the Holy Spirit and try to dare to do what he tells you to do, even if it's a little bit whack or scary. Usually people who are sick, they'll let you have a go. I know in Africa, you know, deliverance and water. Demons don't like water. I don't know why. But often, you know, if people are manifesting, they have these huge baptism queues going into rivers. And sometimes someone stands with a gun to keep the crocodiles away while you have these long sessions in the river of baptizing people. So many people getting saved in Africa. baptizing. Sometimes people in the crowd waiting start manifesting demons and going berserk. And they just throw them in the water. Just get them in. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They come out, oh, delivered, free. Demons don't like water. I don't know. Oil, laying on of hands, water, if God tells you to. Baptism water, definitely. Then there's sort of taking action, you know, taking like steps of faith. Jesus often tells people to do something. I think that's important if you're praying for the sick. If you feel they should do something, if it gets too boring, they just stood there, static, you know, they've got sticks. Well, try and walk without your sticks. Can you get out of the chair? Oh, I've been in the chair for 30 years. Yeah, I know you've been in the chair for 30 years. Can you get out of the chair? Well, I've been in this chair for... Yeah, but can you try to do something as if a miracle was happening here? Because when you act, the power of God kicks in. Something happens often as people try and do something. They often can. You know, we've often seen people heal like that. That young lad who did his leg in and he had a bandage on. Mark? Yeah, he was called Mark. Oh, not that's this Mark. No, another Mark in the Oakwood Centre, the youthy guy. No, he's a little bit chubby, but really cute. But anyway, but there was that day when he came to church. Mark Healy, yeah. He came to church and he had this thing on his foot. And we were praying for him and stuff. And he was in a lot of pain. And I just felt the Lord tell me to say to him, take the bandage off, take it completely off. You expect to get healed, then take it completely off. He was in a lot of pain. Didn't tell him to walk on it because he was in so much pain. But we sat him down on the stage and took it off. It took a while, you know, to get it off, cut it off, pull it off. We got it off, he's totally healed. Instantly healed as it was off. Whoa! Starts running around the Oakwood, buzzing. There's something about action, really expecting God to do something. Jesus often said to people, that hand that you can't stretch out, yeah, stretch it out. It's interesting, isn't it? Just do what you can't do. healed. Yeah.
She said she was telephoning and she was screaming of an anxiety attack. Oh, and she felt God.
It was coming towards the end of one of my degrees that I was doing, and I had to finish it off. It was a really important telephone interview, and it was booked in for the phone of me at 9:30.
Yeah.
So I got up expecting my husband to do all the kids, but husbands sometimes don't. He didn't do anything for the kids. So I was in a stress sorting the kids out. And then the kids had gone to school, and I sat down and thought, right, I need to get all my stuff out of studying. It was like, stop. I felt straight away, stop. Get the Bible, read scripture, go upstairs, fill the sink. It was like clear as day. Mm. Fill the sink and really douse yourself. And I thought it was about 5 times, it might have been 7 times. I can't remember. But it was like, I was like thinking, oh, that's silly.
Yeah.
But I did what you told me to
yeah.
do. I went downstairs, I had to shut the conservatory door, and I had to sit down.
It's brilliant.
Calm, everything.
Do you know the same thing happened? The same thing happened at the end of one of my degrees. No. It's brilliant. It's great. Praise God. Just acting. Jesus said to those guys with leprosy, just says, go and show yourselves to the priest. It says, as they went, they were healed. As they obeyed him, as they went, they were healed. You know, I often say to people, don't settle for what you're experiencing right now. As you go home, expect to be healed. As you go, you'll be healed, you know. So, you know, if you have a short prayer time or just a ministry time at the end of church, sometimes that's not enough for people. You know, God's still working. He's still working. And you should encourage people who you're praying for, really, I think, to keep expecting that to happen. Okay. Taking action. And sometimes the action is him speaking to you like that. Sometimes he can show you what's going to happen before it happens. That's like visions and dreams. Sometimes I've had a dream or a vision of a meeting, often a dream of a meeting, and I see what's going to happen in the meeting before it happens. I wake up and I think, that's what's going to happen this morning, and I watch it happen like a video. It's happening exactly as now this is going to happen, now that's going to happen, now this is my moment, I need to do this now. It's an awesome thing. God shows you what's going to happen before it happens, so that when it kicks in, you have total faith. You just know exactly. You're just following obediently what you've already seen. Someone who used to heal like that all the time was John G. Lake. He's a famous Pentecostal healing guy. Went to Africa, and there's a funny little story. You know, he used to see what was going to happen in visions and dreams before it happened. And he just obeyed that and see massive miracles that happened to him. It was this one day, he was preaching out in the bush in Africa, and this totally possessed guy with a machete runs out of the bush and starts running towards him, screaming and screaming and screaming. And there's people around him and people on the platform watching, and he's running towards him. And John G. Lake keeps looking at the cars in the car park, and this guy's running closer. And John G. and people are saying, "What's he going to do? What's he going to do?" And he keeps looking at the cars, and then just the sun, the African sun, drops down on its way down, drops under some clouds and shines on these cars, all beautiful red. And he sees them and he says, "In the name of Jesus, get out of him!" And this guy, massively delivered, and skids right up to his feet. And the people who were working with him said, "Why didn't you do that earlier?" And he said, in the vision, the cars were red. He'd seen it in a vision. He'd seen it happen earlier. He knew what to do. He was just being obedient. He was waiting. He thought, is this what I saw? Is this what I saw? I'm sure they were red. Oh, they are red. In the name of Jesus. I mean, that's pretty tuned in. But you know, God can show you what's going to happen before. He's done that sometimes with me with collections. You know, in the past, when we've needed a supernatural collection of, you know, £30,000 that we haven't had and we had to pay sometimes. Not talking about us personally, but not another church. I've sometimes dreamt about me taking a collection and what to say and how to do it. It's a supernatural thing. And I, you know, wonder, then I watch the meeting. Oh, yeah, this is this meeting. This is the meeting. I'm going to do the collection. I've got someone. Can I do the collection? Yeah. I just got instant faith. You go, you just say the few little things God told you to say, and you sit back down, £30,000. There was no one in that morning, £30,000. It's exactly what you need. It's a supernatural thing. It's taking action. That's taking action out of what you've already seen happen through dreams and visions. But there's also the action of that, just doing what the Holy Spirit whispers for you to do. Being in his presence, we've said this already, you know, the radiation of his presence. When we worship the Lord, this is what the Bible says, he's enthroned on the praises of his people, praise of Israel. So as we praise God, as we worship God, we draw near to the throne. We draw near to the throne. You know, I said last week, I don't know whether I said it last week, I was saying it Sunday in Scotland and somewhere else, but, you know, God's everywhere, right? I mean, that's what omnipresent means. Omnipresent doesn't mean he's the same level of presence everywhere. I mean, it says, for instance, in the Bible that he's a very present help in trouble. If you're in trouble, God's very near you. You're very aware of his presence. That's the kind of God he is. It's the kind of dad he is. If you're going through trouble, he's very near you. He's watching you, helping you, walking with you, helping you, helping you. Near you, near you, near you. When you come together as a congregation and you worship the Lord and you praise him and thank him and bless him, you are drawing near. You are drawing into the miracle realm and presence of God more and more and more. Is God with you all the time? Of course he is. But when you deliberately pray, even on your own, when you deliberately pray and become aware of his presence, and, you know, it says in Hebrews, come boldly before the throne of grace, draw right to that throne to receive mercy and find grace. Let us come boldly, it says. So that's what we do in prayer. You know, is God with you? Yeah, but let him be with me, with me. With me, with me, with me, with me, with me, all over me, in me, flowing through me. Let me pray for you now. Bang. It's different. Presence of God. Aware of the presence of God. And often we've been in meetings where people have just been healed in the worship. Loads of people healed without anybody praying for them. John Wimber meetings used to be like that. I've often said this story about, maybe you've heard it before, about being in the Free Trade Hall in Manchester. Some of the last meetings John Wimber did. In fact, the last meeting he did in England, I was there. We were determined to get to the front and get prayer for him. So before he'd had an altar call about anything, we just ran to the front. Like dancing at the front. And he looked at us like, freaks. What are they doing? And he never prayed for us. But he smiled at us. And I was in this meeting once with him one afternoon. And he said, I just had a vision. He was really chilled, cool, Californian, like surfer dude. He said, I just had this vision of a wave go through this meeting. A wave and everybody was healed. Yep, there it comes. Bang, 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 bang. People screaming, falling, bang, 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 bang. Everyone was healed. There's 3,000 people in that meeting. I was there. Every person who was ill in that meeting was healed like that. Like that, like that. What's it happen? My friend Colin Naisbitt, some of you know Colin, had a football injury from when he was a kid. He was 37 years old. He'd had it from when he was a kid. Bad knee, bad knee, bad knee. In that wave, boom, my knee, healed. People with cancer, healed, 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 healed. Absolutely awesome. Yep, that was it. Really cool. Cool, relaxed, Californian. Power of God. Just the presence of God through proclamation as well. Mark 7 verse 34, that is speaking to illnesses. Jesus did that all the time. He spoke to ears and things, didn't he? Spoke to ears and tongues, be open, which is amazing. I mean, he's not speaking to the woman, the person, whoever it was. He's speaking just to the ears, so you can speak. I think he spat then as well, actually. I think he spat and touched the tongue. I don't know whether he spat and touched their tongue or whether he just spat and touched their tongue. But that's what he says. He says there was a man who was deaf and mute from birth. It's a pretty big miracle, this. And Jesus, sick of the crowds, takes him out of the town on his own. And I think he put his fingers in his ears, yeah? And they spat and touched his tongue, or spat, touched his tongue, and said, Ephrathah, be open. And it said the spirit that spirit, it was the spirit that one, left him. And immediately his tongue was loosed and he could just speak. He didn't learn to speak, he could just speak. And he could hear, absolutely phenomenal. You see things like that round our bonky meetings, don't you? People who are deaf and mute all their life, absolutely, instantly healed through the power of the gospel being preached. Proclamation. You preach Jesus as a healer, he'll heal. That's what we'll preach on Sunday nights. And you preach Jesus as Saviour and people get saved. That's what happens. You preach the cross, people get saved. If you preach miracles, people get healed. Because Jesus is those things anyway. But to be those things for them, they have to believe that. And how can they believe unless they hear? And how can they hear unless someone preaches? And that's how that's the faith connects. So preaching is so important. It's not enough just to keep laying on hands. Let's just have big laying on of hands meetings. No, the apostles, the early church, they never did that. They always preached, as well as everything else. Then lastly, this distance healing. In other words, people who weren't there, people who took hankies back to people and things like that, you know. Again, that's sort of like touch, isn't it, I suppose? People touch Jesus' garments. And Paul's handkerchiefs and things, and took them and healed people. I think Ryan had Bonky in those pray over prayer letters and requests and things. You can pray over people's. You know, if you can't get there, you do what you need to do. You pray over something, give them that. You've got to believe this, guys, that God's power is on us. And as we do things, he's going to move in faith. When we're in faith, he moves in power. He just does what he's always done. And even new things, you know, if he speaks you to do something, have a go and do it. So exciting.
Centurion servant,
yeah. Is another example of Jesus saying, oh, go home, he's sorted. Go home, he's healed. Jesus always celebrated faith. Loves faith. Faith is the element that makes one touch different from another. So that woman who reached out behind him and touched his garment, and Jesus stopped. Whoa, somebody's touched me. And Peter said, everybody's touching you. Apparently, you could touch Jesus and nothing happens. You could bang into him, touch him. Oh, Jesus, great, I'm glad you're in our town. Nothing's happening. There's no faith. Where there's faith, if I just touch him, I'll be healed. I'll just get his cloak as it goes past. Oh, bang, I'm healed. Jesus, whoa. Power went out from me. Who touched me? And he keeps looking around at this woman and said, it was me. And he's buzzing. Well done, daughter. Jesus loves faith. He loves it. Well done. Your faith has healed you. Go and be at peace. Go and be at peace. And that centurion, that's what reminded me of that. That centurion was a non-Jew. Jesus celebrated his faith and said, this guy's got more faith than all of you lot. He's absolutely buzzing about his faith. Go home, your servant is healed. At a great distance, Jesus can heal. He doesn't need to be there physically, and neither do you. You can pronounce healing over someone in a hospital 50 miles away and believe for it, and it can happen instantly. God's not in time and space. He's there. He's here. It's no difference to him. So should we? Is anyone sick? Is anyone?
Sick.
Yeah.
If possible,
yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Will you come forward and we'll pray for you for her? That's another thing you can do.
So tomorrow she's getting all the cameras and everything else. So she just said that.
brilliant. There's a lot of faith in this room, isn't there? Can you feel that? There's a lot of faith because of what we've been talking about. So who wants to come and pray for Shireen as though she was here over a mum? Who wants to come and pray? And pronounce Shireen well. Pray for this bit of the bowel that's been fused together and that's closed.
And it's gone all, it's all, when they did the first lot of surgery, when they put it together,
yeah,
there was still disease there.
Right.
So it's still always disease, yeah, and it's just not gone.
So. Awesome. So let's have a few people pray, and then we can, do you want to start? And then we can all pray together. Should we stand together and let's believe God's going to do an awesome miracle right now, an awesome miracle for Shireen.
Father, we just thank you for Shireen, Lord, and we just stand now together, and we just stand with Heather, and we just pray in the name of Jesus, and we ask you, Father, for a miracle for Shireen, Lord. There's all these options, Lord, that man's going to give, but we ask you for the first option of a miracle, Lord. And we just pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you will just touch Shireen's body, Lord. Just touch every part, Lord, all the bowels, all the intestines, all the damage done. We pray in the name of Jesus for your healing, Lord, to every part of her body, Father. We just pray for scar tissue to be healed, to be restored to as it was when she was first born. Brand new cells in the name of Jesus, we pray that will just be there in the name of Jesus. We just ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you'll just touch Shireen, Lord, and give her a miracle, Father, tonight in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, Lord, we just thank you. Father, we just speak to this weight now. Lord, we're just looking at this phone. And we just thank you, Lord. Our prayers go like little texts. And Lord, we just send a text now of prayer in Miss Shireen's home in Jesus' name. Through Heather, let Heather see her and lay hands on her and pass on all of this prayer. We thank you, God, for your activation. Father, we just command this weight right now to be gone in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, when she gets married, she'll be at the weight she wants to be at in a dress, looking gorgeous and all of that. Let all worry and fear be gone out of her life in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for all stuff gone wrong to be put right, for all the scars, all the cut, all the incisions, Lord, to be made perfect in you. And Father, we command this disease, this sickness, this illness right now out of her life. Lord, we break the curse of this off this whole family, off Heather's family, Chris's family, God, whatever's there, in Jesus' name, and we break it off Chris as well. All this attack of the body, God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, for bringing wholeness and healing to this whole house. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for blessing Shireen. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for peace and wholeness and life. Thank you, God, for rejuvenation. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Yeah. When we were praying earlier, I got a picture, and I really feel that it's for Shireen. It was a picture of a golf ball in the rough, and I really felt God saying, you know, you could hit it from the rough and land on the green, but actually he's a fantastic God of miracles, and I just felt he said he's going to hit it from the rough and it's going to be a hole in one. It's going to be a miracle, and I really just feel that was for Shireen.
Hiya, sorry, when we were praying there, I got a picture of Shireen with just black stripes all over, like tiger stripes, and the words going through my head, by his stripes we are healed, by his stripes you are healed. Not might be, maybe, could be. By his stripes, we are healed. Shireen is healed. And it's just one stripe after the other. Healed, 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 healed. In the name of Jesus, we claim it now. By his stripes, we are healed. Thank you.
Thank you. Since that time when I talked about not getting pictures, I've got another one. All I saw was Shireen standing. And for those of you who know, in your body is your lymph system. It's the system that stops you getting sick, supposedly. We live in a fallen world. And what I saw was a bright light above her head. She's standing like this. And then a sort of just bright light going through the whole of her limb system, all the way down her neck, her arms, her body, all the way down to her feet. And she was healed.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Glory to you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Lord.
Lord, we just thank you for that initial word earlier on about rays of sunshine, Lord. Thank you, Gloria. And Father, we just pray for Heather when she goes home. She'll do what Martin said. She'll just lay her hands on her head, just like Admiral just said. And that burst of sunshine, the power of God, will just go from her head to her feet. Burn up every trace of sickness, Lord, and heal her. In Jesus' name, we pray Heather will be charged up right now. Thank you, Lord, for your blood, Jesus. Your blood heals us. Your blood separates us from all sickness. Thank you, Lord, for anointing, for power, and Holy Spirit, for anointing Heather's hands with the blood of Jesus when she lays hands on Shireen's head. The healing will flow. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, everyone.
That's faith, you see. Heather shouting out there. It's like that woman going past. Jesus here, there's faith here. Our Shireen, that's faith.
Yes. Got a picture there of the about the oil. When we were saying, like, what does it signify? The picture of when they were going and they had the oil lamps and they had to keep them full. And it was like the Lord was saying, you know, those who didn't sort of, like, keep them full, it ran out. And it was the power, it was the source for the light. And that's what the oil is. It's the anointing and it's the power of God for the source, for it to keep going. Yeah.
Keep filling us up, Lord. Keep us filled with anointing and oil and power. Is anyone physically in pain right now? You're in pain with something. Come on, Av. Can we pray for you? Yeah. Is that all right? You've been skateboarding again, haven't you? Tell us.
Very quickly, I was talking to my brother. Who's had cancer for 13 years and how he's still alive, literally God alone knows. And in the course of that, I just remembered that when I was in Estonia, and I've told a couple of people this, this woman came for prayer and she said, there's something wrong with my arm and it's been like this for 6 years. And I felt so sad for her. And your mum was interpreting for me. And she said, I think I must have offended God so badly that this is what's happened. He won't heal me. And I was so, initially I was just sad and then I was so angry. And I can honestly say it really was the Lord because I didn't think of what I was saying. I just said, you've been lied to. You have been lied to big time. You know? And at that point I saw, the angels and I saw arrows being aimed at her, but the angels started to bat them off. And I said, you know, and I said, we're going to pray because you are healed. There is actually nothing wrong with you. You've been lied to and you've fallen for it. Sitting over there just now, I thought, you've fallen for it too. I was healed of back pain. It was great because then I could start to walk because I had to lose weight. Felt great. It came back worse. The stuff I was at hospital for, came back worse. I had to go back for medication. I thought, what's going on here? And I looked and I thought, well, God doesn't expect me to be perfect. And kind of looked at, and I don't understand any of this, you know.
So what, how are you now, right now, tonight?
My back's in pain, certainly, and the other problems are a bit too intimate to talk about, but they are worse than they were before. Okay. But I think I've been lied to.
Yeah.
And I didn't, a bit slow in the uptake.
Can you do a little bit of modelling something for everyone? So if Avril, on a Sunday morning, she comes forward and you say, hi, my name's Martin, my name's Avril, what can I pray for? And she says, I've got pain in my back. I've got back pain. I've had it back a couple of times and been to hospital and stuff. And there's some intimate stuff I can't share, but I need healing. Where would you start? Well, I personally would always start with the pain because it's tangible. And that when the pain goes, that increases their faith for everything else. They know they've been healed. Mm. So there's no healing's happening for them. So what you would do really is speak to the pain and tell the pain to go. So we'll just do that now. Sure. And we'll see how we do. So in the name of Jesus, we speak to this pain in the back and command it to go now from every vertebrae. In Jesus' name, pain, leave this back now. In the name of Jesus, leave and never come back. And with pain, sometimes it's a spirit. Like fear is always a spirit. If someone's afraid, I'd always cast it out. You don't just cancel them down. But with pain, sometimes it's a spirit as well. It's a demonic attack. You know, and Avril's, I mean, obviously, because this is Avril's a Christian, she knows what she's talking about a bit. Well, she knows what she's talking about. So what I mean is, you know, she's trying to suss out in God what it is, and she's already sensing that she's been lied to. So that's an enemy activity. She's sort of got a bit of a hook in there. But if she wasn't a Christian or she was just in asking for healing, you wouldn't know that. But I'd probably still pray that as well. So in the name of Jesus, we take authority over any spirit of infirmity in this back now, and we command it to go. Go now from this back. Every spirit of infirmity, go right now, right now, right out, in Jesus' name now. And then I just ask them how they were doing and what they felt, any different or anything. Do you feel anything, Av?
In terms of my back, I have no pain at the moment. I need one thing to be named. I think God's saying it needs to be named. Claire, where are you? The pain I've been having, I've just forgotten the name of it, down through my leg.
Sciatica.
That came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Completely. And again, that part of the whole confusion thing, but I think... So I've heard the Lord saying to me now, yeah, name that one.
Okay. This is funny because you're healing yourself, but if you weren't, then I could do it. But do you see?
Well, it's okay if you really want to do it.
It's fine.
No, it's okay.
What I'm saying is, while you were sat there, were you in pain?
Yes.
And are you now?
No.
So when did that leave?
I don't know. Just went.
Okay. So that's a good stage. So the pain's gone.
The pain's gone.
And because Avril's full of the Holy Spirit, she's getting revelation, healing herself. That's what she's doing now. So it's working both ways. So that's helpful. But I'm just saying, if someone came forward, you wouldn't get that. You'd be doing it all usually. Mm. So the sciatica, how's that feeling? Because can you feel that down your leg now still or not? Is it gone?
It's nagging. It's a different pain to the...
Yeah, it's a different thing, isn't it, altogether?
Yeah.
So we pray about the sciatica then. And we'll pray the pain goes from that in Jesus' name. And sometimes, you know, you get people to move. You know, sciatica's a leg thing, isn't it?
Yep.
You know, moving your leg and sitting down, stuff like that. So you just move that leg, Avril. We just pray for that pain to go. Yep. Jesus' name, we speak to the sciatica. Jesus' name, go now. Never come back. Never come back. We just speak to that joint, sacroiliac joint, and all the inflammation around there, pain in the nerves, in the hip. Go now. Now, in Jesus' name. And any spirit of infirmity there, any damage done, in Jesus' name, go. Now. And then you just ask them again how they're doing and what it feels like. Does that feel any different? Have you feel anything? Or...
I thought it was there, but it's not.
Is it gone?
Yeah.
Is it gone just now? Or...
Yeah.
Are you aware of when it went? Or...
Well, I stopped moving and I thought, still there.
But then,
I can't feel the pain now.
Well, that's good. Well, that's always encouraging, isn't it? So then.
And that doesn't mean to say that I'm disbelieving when I say it, because... It went here.
No, that's awesome.
I can still feel a bit down my leg.
No, you've got to be absolutely honest. You don't want any extra help. You just want reality. Because you don't want your ego connected to it. It's nothing to do with me. I'm connected to a mighty source here. So I'm just laying my hands on Avril. That's what you're doing when you're praying for someone to be healed. Your ego has got to be completely... You're irrelevant. You want trying to get the person well and delivered and healed and blessed. And you want it to be long-term. And long-term is reality. So if they still feel pain, and you sort of encourage them to say that that they don't feel pain, no one's getting helped because they're going to go out ill. So, you know, you obviously, I mean, it's a bit of pressure when you stood at the front as well, but it's good that the pain's gone. So it, on the wave of that, mm-hmm. faith, you know God's doing something for you right now, don't you?
I do.
Yeah, you do. And the pain's going as you're moving. So we're going to pray. And the wave of that, you pray for the other stuff inside, any organ trouble, the intimate stuff, stuff you don't want to mention. You know God's moving now. Blessing Avril, healing Avril. So you just increase and focus your prayers on within her, right through her. And if you're not medical and you don't know much like me, I usually just put my hand on their head and pray that God blesses every cell in their body. In the name of Jesus, I bless, in Jesus' name, every cell in Avril's body, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, be blessed, Avril. And if they're a Christian, you know how loved they are by their Father. So just pour it in. Pour in the Holy Spirit, Father. Pour in your love. It is love that heals. Let his compassion come and heal them. And just let the compassion and love and the Holy Spirit of God flow through them from head to foot. And just pray that God does everything. Like a service on a car. Not just an MOT, that's just survival. But a full service on every part of their body. And we just speak to everything that Avril's aware of that's caused her problems and pain and trouble and anxiety. And we command it in the name of Jesus to be healed. It's an interesting thing, praying for people and healing people. You know, the phrase used most, you know this already, is to heal people more than pray for people. We use the term prayer because we like looking to God and we're asking God to do something awesome, but actually he's telling us to do something awesome as well. So it's a dual thing. You're healing them. That's why we're speaking to pain, commanding pain to go, commanding organs to be straightened and cleaned and any cancer cells to be destroyed and wiped out and anything in their body that's wrong to be massively healed and blessed and just made well. So we'll have to see, won't we, on some stuff.
Can I anoint with some oil?
You can. So we'll just keep going a bit on you, Av.
Can you ask me if you can anoint me?
And we'll just do one other person.
I'd love you.
Anyone who wants to pray for Avril, who feels love, compassion, and a bit more healing, because she's being healed by God. Yes. So just jump on the wave and bless them more. That's why it's good to pray in twos for people. And usually, we try and do men to men and women to women. Because if it was a man here, and if he didn't mind, I'd put my hand on that sacroiliac joint. It's right in the buttock, isn't it? But you can't do that with a woman, really, unless you get a slap. It wouldn't be right anyway. But you'd want to put your hand and speak and focus your prayers and your faith and your anointing into that place of pain for it to go. But obviously, it's that pain has gone anyway. But the pain is like the beginning. And the full healing is in the health and it not coming back. And the mending of tissue and stuff. It's a physical thing you're asking for. Not just asking for pain to go. It's not psychosomatic. You're asking for something physical to be done in them. So praise the Lord, Avril. Who else wants to pray for Avril? I think God's still just working through here. Is anyone going to just come pray for more for Avril? You don't have to do it in the mic. We're going to just pray for someone else as well. Thank you, Stacey. Just keep praying God's Holy Spirit upon her, flowing through her, finishing this job, blessing her. Thank you, Jesus. And it's always, when someone gets healed, it's always a spiritual and an emotional event for them because it's personal touch of God out of love for them. So very often they cry and get massively touched by God's love. Who else is physically ill tonight and you want God to heal you tonight? Lily, Margaret, come forward and we'll have a session of praying for you guys. Anyone else? But you know you're in pain. You know you're not well. The other thing I'd do, this is a little teaching session, that's why I'm talking it through so much, sorry. I'll just do this, we're going to do 10 more minutes and we're going home. Because it's Margaret, and I'm always praying for Margaret's lungs, with varying degrees of success and failure, I'm going to get someone else to pray for her. Because fresh faith counts. It's not that I haven't got faith. I have got faith to keep praying for Margaret. But it's good to get... what I was saying the other night is you get someone else to come. If you're always doing the praying, it's good to get someone else in. Get someone else in. You know, get the visiting speaker in. Or get anyone who has got some faith. Who would have faith to pray for Margaret? Margaret is attacked by the enemy. This is an attack on the church. Because it's an attack on me and her. And she's up every night for hours. You know, we're not getting much sleep at all. So it's a bit of Satan. So we need this done. It's not just like this affects us. So we need it healed. And it's the enemy. It is. So Lily, come here, love. I'm just going to pray for you and talk you through this. Tell us, can you tell us what's wrong with you, Lily? What you feel?
I've got a hay fever at the moment. Oh, I've got headaches.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I'm coming down, so I've got temperature.
Have you just got a bit of pooliness?
Yeah, but I've got another problem as well, which I've had for a few years.
Yeah.
I've had prayers for it, but...
Is that getting better, long-term stuff or not?
A little bit, but it's just been totally annoying me now.
Right.
I've had a face problem, which I've had allergy to perfume. I've had patch testing and things like that for the last few years. So I'm allergic to most makeup. Lotions, anything. I can't use anything. So I've recently been referred to Clinique, and it's still not working. So I'm coming out with all these blistery spots. So it's not going, and I don't know what it is. I don't know whether it's the makeup they've changed or what, but it's just everything now. My face is rejecting it.
I'll just do a little bit of teaching on this. So these three things that Lily just mentioned to me. She's come forward for prayer in the ministry time. I've come and said, how are you doing, Lily? What can I pray for? And she said three things. And they're different levels of things, actually. She's saying, I've got a bit of a temperature and I've got hay fever. That's one. I've got long-term things that I want healing. They're the biggies. That's three. And then she's mentioned something else about a reaction to makeup and stuff, hasn't she, and perfume. That's the middle. So where would I start? I'd start at number one. Why? Because it's tangible. If she can breathe better right now, then that's going to help the faith increase. What you're after is more faith. Unless you've just got massive faith. If you have a surge of faith, just blast them and pray that everything's gone. But usually with ministry, if you're going to take a while, you want to start somewhere. And there's three things there. So be listening. Really listen to the person. And tick, you know, categorize things in your head. Have a tick box, right? What's the most important there? That's the most important. But what's the easiest? Start with the easiest and the smallest and the most tangible. So that when they, oh, do you know what? I'm breathing a lot better. I'm breathing a lot better. And while they're talking to you, put your hand on them. Because God's healing them already. He's just flowing into them as you're talking to them. So you're talking to them, you're blessing them, you're healing them, you're blessing them, you're healing them, you're blessing them, you're healing them. And they're just going to get better straight away. So in the name of Jesus, we speak to this hay fever to go from Lily. And anything that's connected to, because allergies work together. In the name of Jesus, we break the curse of allergies over Lily now. Now. We command it to end tonight. And never come back. And we speak to her lungs to be at peace and be at rest right now and breathe freely and be unblocked. Your nose and your nasal passages be open and free. Now take a big deep breath for me. Right, another one. And out. Does that feel any different? How do you feel? Just tell the truth. Sometimes you're not sure. You just say, I'm not sure. But if you're sure, something's happening then.
Yeah, just still got a bit of temperature in my eyes.
Oh, yeah, we did mention the temperature. Oh. So in the name of Jesus, we command the temperature to go as well. Fever, go in the name of Jesus. Every cold, cough, virus, germ, in Jesus' name, go in Jesus' name. That's another thing I feel to do sometimes. I have no idea why I feel to do that. But I just breathe on them fast. I blew it off them.
I don't know where that is in the Bible, but I just feel like to doing that sometimes.
Can I just say one more thing? The allergy thing.
Yeah.
Well, for a few years at the same time, I've had this type of, not warts, but it's like some type of spots. And say, I know this is a bit gory, but, you know, if you peel them, they still grow back. And I said, the dermatologist said it was in my skin. So it's coming within. So I've still got some. So I've had to have it treated with some sort of lotion, but and then I've got special shampoo, but it's still there, you know, it's still like just not going. So it's, I don't know how it's connected to my face.
Yeah, it might be all connected to the same thing. Let's start here though. How's your breathing feeling now? Just have a little think, have a little sense of how you're feeling.
Yeah, breathing's all right.
Better than it was.
It's a bit better, yeah.
Yeah. So God's doing,
I start getting headaches, but starting to go, I think.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, we just pray for a little bit more. In the name of Jesus, we just put it back in the microwave of God. Come, Holy Spirit. More in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let all these allergies go in the name of Jesus. We command this scalp to be clean now. In the name of Jesus, heal up, clean up, and never, ever come back. In the name of Jesus Christ, be blessed. Be blessed. Any curse, in the name of Jesus, we break off you and command it to lift off now in the name of Jesus. You know, anything that comes to mind like that curse, you pray out. Because, you know, in our families, there's all sorts of things that are passed on. Don't understand all these things. You don't have to. We just need to get rid of them. So we just pray in the name of Jesus for that to end. And great times of blessing to come in Lily's life and heart. Thank you, Lord. And then we pray for these long-term illnesses as well. In the name of Jesus, whatever they are. So it might not be. Does that sound too dramatic?
No, I've got the endometriosis as well, but I've got that many things. But it's like calming down. I'm sort of fighting going back to the hospital.
Yeah.
And I've been back to my gynae, and I've said I don't want an operation.
No. Because it's a massive deal, isn't it?
Because I feel
that is a massive deal.
I'm fighting them to say I feel that I'm going to have healing, and I'm fighting it. Do you see what I mean?
Well, let's believe
but
it's tonight now.
But I do get pain.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's just pray about this then. This is the big deal. The big deal is long-term trouble there. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we just thank you that you're healing Lily tonight of much more than hay fever. You're healing her, Lord, of many, many things. And we just pray that you'd absolutely bless her. Just bless right through her body now in the name of Jesus. Every cell we bless with healing in the name of Jesus. From the top of her head to the soles of her feet in the name of Jesus. And just put your hands on your tummy, Lily, where your trouble is. And you know, if you've got a lady here like Esther, will you come, Esther? Just put your hand on her hand. You just try and put your hand where the issue is and just believe there's power flowing through your hand with healing now. In the name of Jesus, we command whatever's been named by the medical world as well. That's always got a power to it that's unhelpful. So you can name it and that helps as well. So we just command endometriosis to go. Now, this medical complaint, this medical issue to go in the name of Jesus now. Bless Lily, bless her. Every part of her body be blessed and healed, clean and free of pain and trouble. We just break her free from every person who's ever cursed her and been unhelpful to her life in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And when you pray for someone, you can always do prophetic and physical acts. If you want to, if it's helpful to you, it's helpful to me. I think you're cutting people off from demonic things when you do that. I don't know why I think that, but I do. There was interesting the other day. I think I was going for a little prayer walk with Carl. Someone keep praying for Lily. Someone else. Someone who hasn't prayed yet. Who wants to pray for Lily? Come and just lay hands on her head. Radiation of God upon her. You can.
Just
I don't mind. Just as you were getting prayer, I got a picture, and it was like a waterfall. It was the Holy Spirit washing over you, and it was coming down like a waterfall. And it was like that God was going to start with all the surface stuff, all the stuff in your skin, your scalp, all that. He was going to start with that. All that was just falling off and falling off. And then he's going deeper and deeper and dealing with the other things.
That's awesome. Thank you, Lord. Keep praying that waterfall over her then. In the name of Jesus. Sometimes we just rush healing too much because of time, but we just need to spend time praying for each other to be healed until we're healed. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time. What was I going to say then? Oh, prophetic acts and doing, you know, movements and stuff. It was just interesting talking to Carl. He was just saying that he was on the second row the other week. And I don't know why I did that, but I did it with someone. Must have been... Oh, we said we were praying for each other for something, weren't we? And blessing each other. For healing? I think we were praying for healing. I think we were praying for Margaret. And I went like that, you know, and Carl said, you know, I'm not bigging myself up here. I'm not trying to. I'm just being honest to you about prophetic movements and acting and moving. Carl said, you know, he was struggling to get into the meeting. He felt distracted and all sorts. And when I went like that, he felt anointing hit him. And he was like, oh, I'm in. And he was in the meeting and buzzing and filled with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, you can make everything little. You can also be super spiritual and just go whack and stupid. We're not saying that. You can make everything little, but what you want to do is be in the middle. You want to be humble enough to say, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know whether it's doing anything or not, but I feel like doing it, so I'm going to do it. You know, I'm going to walk around. I'm going to lift my hands. My body's the temple of the Holy Spirit, and where I move, he moves. And so when you're praying for people, don't just be restricted to praying nicely. You know, pray, cut them off from stuff, be free. You know, as much as they're sort of happy for you to do that, I suppose, on a Sunday morning as well. Maybe you have to be a bit tactful as well. Amen. Guys, we're done for tonight, so thank you. Keep praying. Lord, we just want to thank you so much for tonight. We thank you for your presence, for your love, for what you've been saying to us. Lord, we know there's a thousand other things we can learn, but you're our teacher, Holy Spirit. And we pray that in the ministry times, in Sunday nights and Sunday mornings and over these months, that you just teach us to be filled with the Holy Spirit and move in faith and acknowledge your miracles in our lives as they're happening. Amen. Next week, Stuart and Marion are back from Toronto. So they're going to do the meeting and we're going to have a big fire tunnel. Well, maybe not a fire tunnel, but maybe just fire. And pray for everyone to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
And they'll be getting absolutely blasted and blessed. Marion's got no legs left. She's all over the place and absolutely full of awesome fire. So that'll be really, really good to hear from them. So come expecting to get massively blessed. And I think that's a good way to end for the summer, really. You've had loads of teaching. Thank you. You've been very patient. But I think just next week, just come and receive power and refreshment again, you know, and be filled and just see what happens, see what they share. It should be good. It should be awesome. Well done. Thank you for sharing that. Absolutely brilliant. Oh,